All right, that's the Birds with Turn, Turn, Turn. Before that, we heard Ghost Riders in the Sky by Southern Raised. It's 8:45, and that means it's time for the Garden Conversation, which is underwritten by the bookstore selling new and used books on Main Street in Haines. Also, I'm joined here this morning with Suzanne Smith and Greg Podziki. Hi.
Good morning, Joni.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, well, welcome to Greg Podziki.
I know.
I told Greg was nervous about coming on, and I said, Greg, you're retired from the post office. We don't get to see you anymore, so people want to hear what you're up to. And one of the things Greg has been up to with amazing success is gardening, particularly gardening with flowers.
Go, Greg.
Yeah. But before we get into it, Greg, you had an announcement about Toni Smith.
Well, I know Toni Smith has a big sale going on. She's got quite a few fruit trees, maybe some lilacs left, but she has hundreds of bags of black mulch for $5 a bag.
Oh, my goodness.
Good deal. And I've been reading about mulch, and black mulch, apparently, the darker the better to put on in the fall because it absorbs heat.
Great.
And it helps your root systems in your shrubs.
Okay, great. I'm going to head over there. The other announcement I have is that Gomi's Garden is having its annual plant sale, and that will be Friday, September 29th through Sunday, October 1st at Sarah J's little food place, and it will happen from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and then for whatever leftover bulbs are left, she'll be selling them at the bookstore on Main Street.
Oh, nice.
So that's perfect.
Okay, is it primarily bulbs or is she plants?
It's all bulbs.
All bulbs.
All bulbs.
Okay.
Tulips, daffodils, crocuses, and a few varieties of other things. Okay. So make sure to go there. Anyway, Greg, tell me about how you used your property here for many years up at Mud Bay. And why and when you decided to start a flower garden. As I understand it, you used to have quite a bit of livestock up there, or is that incorrect?
Yeah, that is correct. We always had two or three horses. We had sheep, ducks, geese, lots of chickens, turkeys. We even tried pigs and rabbits. So the manure that we got from those things, we were giving away. We used some in a vegetable garden that we had at the time. And the manure was mostly from the chickens and the horses mixed with sawdust. But people liked it, and a lot of people came up there and got free manure. There's not too much left right now, but we do have chickens again. And hopefully we'll get something out of that.
Okay. And why did you edge away from livestock, and why did you start gardening?
The kids grew up. They weren't showing their horses in the fair anymore. They weren't home to drink the goat's milk. And I had more eggs than I knew what to do with. So it was time to ease out of that.
Okay. And what made you decide to start to expand your garden beds?
Well, I had started, I no longer have it, but I had a vacation rental for 9 years. And my guests really, really, as I progressed on the perennial beds and, and the annual flower boxes, always complimented me on the flowers. So each year I expanded more. I divided some of my perennials. I traded with other individuals for their perennials, and it expanded. And gee whiz, I really like my flower garden now, and next year it should be even better.
Yeah, well, great. It is spectacular. Big, wide, south-facing perennial gardens for the most part. And then behind the house, right against the house, Greg has a very nice area for shrubs that like the shade. And I can't believe how well they are doing. So you, in those beds and around the property, you have some pretty sizable shrubs to include lilacs, rhododendrons, some hydrangea. How did you actually get them in the ground? Did you dig holes and transplant them in, or how did
it work? I had made around the house. I used treated lumber, and I made basically raised beds for all the flowers, you know, from the ground up. It's I think 12-inch boards. So basically long boxes that go the expanse of the house.
Okay.
And I wanted to, I come from the East Coast, and you know, on the East Coast, the houses there, people really are into gardening and kind of surrounding their homes with beautiful shrubs and flowers. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's everywhere, or maybe I'm prejudiced, but mm-hmm. it's always a delight to go back there and see those. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to copy that, I guess. And I also wanted to hide certain things on my house foundation to make it look more green and mm-hmm. beautiful and colorful. Slowly, I've been doing this. So each year, I'll get a few, well, more than a few, my children will say, plants. And the nine bark is a good one to put in there. And I have lilacs. I have in the back, I have rhododendrons and hydrangeas where it's shady. Mm-hmm. I'm learning. Mm-hmm. I'm finding out that lilacs prefer lots of sun, not just partial sun. Mm-hmm. The ones that have in partial sun aren't blooming. The ones that are in the sun are blooming. Mm-hmm. I also have lots of, quite a few, really. A few fruit trees and some maple trees and lots of shrubs that I planted all over the place. I have a hot tub in one side of the yard, and I have quite a few shrubs there. Rhododendrons where it's shady. Mm-hmm. Azaleas are over there in the more sunny parts. A lot of the Alberta spruce, I think it is. I got them on sale at Tony's mm-hmm. last year. And I think they only grow to be about 10 feet tall. So I wanted something small but bushy mm-hmm. to just kind of decorate with. Yeah. Then in the front garden, a spirea, I think mm-hmm. it's called spirea.
Yeah,
I have some of those
beautiful.
For shrubs, mm-hmm. But mostly perennial flowers. And I've noticed this year that my irises have reproduced without any help from me quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, they do that.
Yeah, and I don't know where I got white irises from. I don't remember ever mm-hmm. planting them, but I had more white irises than the blue flag.
Really?
And it's incredible. And yellow ones as well. And it's just really fun. And I kept fireweed in there, not a lot of it. I thinned it out because mm-hmm. they kind of overtake things. But they were a blessing because I think that the most desired flower you can have for bees mm-hmm. is fireweed.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. All the native plants, they just love. So yeah, I keep goldenrod and fireweed and mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. like that. Now, how do you get these all in the ground? You told me what do,
right.
So I won't.
Right. So the flower beds, of course, boxes, of course, yeah. I just fill with dirt and I plant them. But yeah. I'm getting older and more decrepit, and I look for easy ways to do things. And at Haynes Home Building, you could rent a post-hole digger, gas-powered post-hole digger.
Okay.
And it's not very expensive. And you can dig a hole for your plant in like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you have to take a shovel and shovel some of it out.
Yeah.
And it works in gravelly soil. Of course, you can't do it if there's a roots or a big rocks. It's
right.
going to grab that and just about twist your arms off of your
right.
shoulder
so
blade.
So you have to be careful
and be pretty strong to handle mm-hmm. it. It's got two handles. I don't know if two mm-hmm. people could do it together, but maybe. But it's really quick. And I'm going to be doing it again soon because I bought some more shrubs and plants at Tony's. Big
okay.
sale that she had. So
great.
Probably next week I will be doing that again
okay.
before it gets too cold.
Okay. And tell me about your hydrangeas that you planted. I know that you've been having some challenges.
Yeah, so the hydrangeas, I was warned this wasn't a good place for hydrangeas.
Mm-hmm.
But I took a trip down in near Seattle in Washington, Olympia National Park, 3 years ago, and all the shady wooded roadsides were just popping with hydrangeas, just, you know, overflowing with the hydrangeas, the blue ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I got to have some of those. So I looked into it, and people said, well, you know, it's kind of iffy here. So I bought them last year, and I kept them in pots outside. And by golly, if they didn't survive. Now, it is true that they look like they're dead, until probably sometime in June when you start to see leaves popping
okay.
up off the branches.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend back in New York, a Facebook friend that went to my high school who I really don't know, but she talked about her hydrangeas, and I asked her about pruning the dead branches out.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, don't prune the dead branches because, and it's true, that new leaves will sprout up those dead branches, almost every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they say lightly prune, I've read, but I'm just leaving mine. Now, this year they're planted in the ground, and I will protect them by making little teepees over them. And I think I'm going to be successful. I think they'll come back. Mine turned out, even though I ordered blue ones, that came out pink, but just as pretty.
Yeah.
And with hydrangeas, so I've read and been told, if the soil is acidic, they will be blue. Otherwise, they're pink. And I guess there are other varieties as well.
Sure, they're green.
Yeah, green, and then turn into light pinkish. And, right, and green ones, And
well, my next-door neighbor has had hydrangeas for, 15 years.
Oh, really. Wow.
And what color are they?
They're kind of a light purplish.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. So when you say build teepees, what are you going to cover the teepees with? Do you use burlap?
I think burlap or some kind of a breathable material, not bisqueen. I don't think that would be good.
Yeah. Are you going to cover any of the rhododendrons? I've noticed rhododendrons here tend to, if they're in an area where there's a lot of snow drift, they can really be battered during the winter. I have one rhododendron that's kind of sheltered under the trees, and it really doesn't need any covering, so it does well. But I've noticed, like, up here at the fort, when people put them in the front yard, you know, they're hanging by a thread after many years.
With the snow plows going by and all that.
Yeah, just the
snow
drifting snow.
Yeah. Well, that's the case with my neighbor, and she doesn't cover them.
Yeah, okay.
They just keep coming back.
I don't have a metal roof, so I don't have a problem with snow avalanching onto my gardens around them. But my rhododendrons I do not cover because all the ones that could be battered are battered and gone. Where the snow plow plows, or where when we're shoveling the porch and we throw the snow down over them. So I think I'm good. But I've had pretty good luck with rhododendrons that weren't in the way of the snow plow. I think it's okay if just the natural snow goes on them.
I've not
had a problem.
Okay. What is your favorite part of gardening? What do you like the most?
Sitting in my chair in front of it, drinking my coffee on a nice summer morning.
Okay.
And staring at the flowers in the mountains across the way.
Okay.
But no, I really like, you know, they say gardening is therapeutic, and I really like going in there every couple of weeks and weeding the garden, the flower garden. And probably 3 or 4 times a day, silly me, I go out there and look at what happens. I swear that overnight, during the night, new blooms appear by the next morning.
They do. Yeah.
And I also go out there right at dusk. I keep saying to people, are those flowers glowing? It seems like they glow, like their lights on in the flowers or their effervescence or something, some more than others. And I really enjoy that, too.
It's their aura.
Yeah. Well, maybe the angle of the sun hitting the petals.
But they sure are pretty. You know.
Yeah, especially where you live, where you're getting that evening sun.
I can see that. Beautiful sunsets,
Well, I'm glad you've designed your garden so it's easy to sit in and enjoy. Everybody's different with why they like to garden. I like to be in the garden. No matter what I'm doing, I find stuff to do. I don't particularly like to weed, but once I start, I can't stop. It's kind of like eating
OCD
pistachios.
You have to get each one out.
Yeah. So that's good. But deadheading, restaking, this time of year I've taken all my cages off, anything that needs support. There's always something to do in the garden, and it just feels relaxing. Being outside, away from your phone, quiet, it's a very nice pastime. So I am so glad that you are, I know you're traveling a lot now that you're retired from the post office, but I'm so glad you're gardening because it is tremendous.
Therapeutic.
The garden that Greg has, I mean, it's really amazing that everything that he plants just seems to thrive.
Well, thank you very much. So, I sure enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, it seems like he does his research and gives it its best opportunity to thrive.
Yeah. So.
Well, Greg, it's been wonderful seeing you here on on Garden Conversation. I hope you'll come back again.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you. And thank you, Suzanne,
for
pulling another one out of the woodwork.
Well, there's a lot of gardeners out there hiding in plain sight.
Yep,
just skulk around the neighborhood, go up the road. It's amazing. Today I'm heading up to Clickwan to see some of their gardens.
Oh, nice.
So,
okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. You guys have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.